Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A Malala teenager is hit in the head with a discus. Oregon legislature makes a wacky video, and a Virginia highway is shut down when a tractor trailer full of blood overturns.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, shield yourselves! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, April 13th, 2011. A freshman at Malala High School was hit in the head with a discus Tuesday afternoon. The girl was taken by life flight to the hospital. The school superintendent, Wayne Koster, said the girl suffered a head cut and a fractured skull. The student was kept overnight for observation at OHSU. A full recovery is expected. Koster said he did not have specific details of how the girl was hit in the head with a discus.
It seems like there aren't really that many details needed, but maybe I don't understand how the discus operates. I heard it was a shot put.
Oh, well, the story I have is discus, but, you know.
I guess it is Malala, so it's not like it's outside the realm of possibility that people were hit in the head with any number of things. The discus is the big metal frisbee. Right.
It's
a huge whirly thing that you throw like Thor or Poseidon or somebody.
Or Captain America with his shield.
Or that, sure. And I think the medical term is it clanked her on the side of the head.
Yeah, it bonked her.
It bonked her.
I believe is what the medical terminology is.
All right, then. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today if that's your pleasure. That's where you get your kicks. At Cascadia.fm is a direct MP3 downloader here at LegionofNews.com. You can also get it via iTunes if you like, or on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, you got your Science on the March, also entertainment news, and so forth. Here is Don Taylor.
There's nothing like the grinning mug of a dictator to stir the heart, which is presumably why Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma brought a giant picture of ousted Ivory Coast despot Laurent Gbagbo to a Senate show and tell on Tuesday. "This is the happy face of President Gbagbo. This is the face I know," said the Republican senator.
Was he reciting poetry about it? Or was this like a singing telegram?
This
is the face of Gbagbo. This is the face that I know.
He lauded the man who was finally prized from his presidential palace yesterday, 4 months after losing a UN-certified democratic election. Inhofe praised Gbagbo for standing up against the so-called peacekeeping forces of the UN and France, and elected leader Alassane Ouattara.
I don't understand. Who did this?
A Republican senator from Oklahoma.
What do you mean it's show and tell?
I guess he just, like, I don't know. God knows what they do on the Senate floor.
It's just some sort of a
some sort of a free time they have right between nap and crackers?
They got their juice boxes, and then he brought out a picture of this guy, Bagbo. He then showed pictures of Bagbo's wife saying, "Ain't she pretty?"
If you knew Susie like I knew Susie.
Now, apparently, the senator and Bagbo go way back with ties to the U.S. Christian right. President Obama, meanwhile, telephoned newly appointed President Uttara on Tuesday to congratulate him on his new job.
Every Star Wars fan in the house is going, "Uttara!
Ain't she pretty?" said the fella.
All right.
A dozen state lawmakers in Oregon slipped the lyrics to Rick Astley's 1987 hit Never Gonna Give You Up into their speeches on the House.
Because they're zany.
Yeah, and it was videotaped, of course, because, you know, it was, you know, during their jobs.
Maybe they can do like a, like a Ted Kulongoski ate my balls kind of a thing after that.
So they made a video, and it was released on April Fool's Day, showing them slipping the lyrics into, you know, I believe, I haven't watched the video, but I assume what it is it clips their little individual bits of lyrics out and then, like, splices it all together
to do the
song. The mastermind, if you will call him that, is Representative Jefferson Smith, a 37-year-old Portland Democrat who says he wants to drive people to politics instead of driving them away with partisan venom. The video credits say it was produced by volunteers. Tax money was not used. It's attracted over 780,000 views.
Wait a minute. Representative Jefferson Smith. That's not Jefferson Smith, the guy that used to be on the bus project. That guy. He's a big, tall, blonde guy.
Maybe. I don't know. How many,
do you know
how many Jefferson Smiths can there be?
Well, it seems like if you accept the proposition that Jefferson and Smith are both common names, it seems the answer would be a lot. So,
but if you also add Democrat in Portland and in politics into the mix, it's probably the same guy.
Except he moved at one point. Do you know who I'm talking about? The guy who ran the Oregon Bus Project?
No.
The Oregon Bus Project, which is a whole, it's like one of those sort of, you know, hey, young people, get out and vote kind of a thing. He's a great guy, actually. He was on our show several times back when we were at CBS. So I'm wondering if this is in fact him, because when you said that the Oregon lawmakers did a Rickroll thing, I automatically assumed it was Republicans because it's something that's dated and not that funny.
Right.
And, you know, but he is in fact a Democrat. You figure that humor is something that the Democrats have, you know, they got a stronger lock on that.
Yeah, but yet that even they are, they're still politicians. They're still a bunch of white guys in politics going.
He is a white guy.
You know what's hip? Something that everyone was talking about 4 years ago.
The kids love Rick Astley. All right. Well, there's no Jefferson Smith is a white man. That is an inescapable fact. Not his fault, perhaps, but it is true. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program assaults your earwaves and your cochlea. Today we got a penis watch coming up. Corpse watch. Also, Anna Griffin from the Oregonian is going to be here. And we'll talk to our good friend, Mr. David Walker. Here is Don Taylor.
As details of the budget deal struck last Friday emerge, one thing seems clear. Democrats helped avert a government shutdown last week, but only at the cost of programs cherished by the left. Over half of the 2011 budget deal's $38 billion in spending cuts came from education, labor, and health initiatives. Pell grants for summer school students will be axed, and federal funding for family planning will be trimmed. Democrats also agreed to cut millions from programs to promote environmental stewardship, acquire national parkland, green jobs, and job training. The bill put the kibosh on $3 billion for states that increased health coverage for uninsured children. President Obama bid farewell to four of his czars in charge of health care, climate change, automobiles, and urban affairs, according to the New York Times.
Is that a sort of thing where they have to line up by the Golden Brick Road and he just goes down, you know, when czar number one? Goodbye, czar number one. Who are his four czars? Are they like the four horsemen?
Healthcare, yeah, because he's the opposite of pestilence.
Okay.
Climate change, I don't know what he is. Automobiles and urban affairs.
We have a czar of climate change?
Apparently so. Well, not anymore.
Okay, we had a czar of climate change?
And Obama says to him, "And you, climate change czar, you are my favoritest of all."
It's like a really unsuccessful line of Care Bear knockoffs. You're global warming bear.
Democrats managed to extract $17 billion from mandatory programs, but failed to secure any cuts to military spending. Hooray! Because that's important. President Obama says that he would like to see $4 trillion shaved from the federal deficit in 12 years, but he says the GOP has the wrong priorities. For example, Republicans want to give senior citizens vouchers instead of full Medicare coverage.
I'm sorry, this is cut one?
Yes.
Obama one?
Yes.
It's a vision that says up to 50 million Americans have to lose their health insurance in order for us to reduce the deficit.
Republicans, he argues, will...
kick puppies.
Something.
Set fire to the homeless.
We'll do something with Medicare.
Make coats from children's skin.
By offering a voucher system.
All right. Just cut two?
Yes.
It says instead of guaranteed health care, you will get a voucher. And if that voucher isn't worth enough to buy the insurance that's available in the open marketplace, well, tough luck.
You'll get a...
You're on your own.
You'll get a Groupon for your insurance. You can only get cancer next Tuesday between like 10 and 2, and you're not allowed to also have scabies. You can only have one.
Obama says the debate over budget cuts will impact lives in potentially profound ways.
What cut is this?
Three.
Are you looking at today's?
Obama three. You just handed this to me.
Okay. I'm just asking the question. A simple yes would have sufficed.
You used a tone. I responded in kind.
Okay, seriously, I can just turn your mic off from here. You know I can do that, right? So let's just scale back on the lip just a little bit while I'm trying to make this work. I believe Obama 3 did in fact turn out to be the same cut as Obama 2, so we will eschew the third one. Okay. Or I could replicate it now. Here's Obama 3.
It says instead of guaranteed health care, you will get a voucher.
Also known as Obama 2. Okay. Here's anytime they start talking about a voucher or like a here's where it throws everybody off. This is when they lose, I think, the majority of Americans, even people who are opposed to, you know, socialism. It's when they start talking about you'll have an individual health care account. And it's like, I don't need that. I just need a guy to pay it. That's the thing. Like, I don't need you to set aside like a waiver or a voucher or a form or a something that I have to I have so many things that I have to track every day and so many to like, you know, if you think in your life, you got passwords, you got your savings account, you got your checking account, you got your IRA, you got your retirement. You already got like the crap that they're trying to do for private schools and public schools where there's a voucher system. You know, if I drop something heavy in my foot and smash it into pieces, I just need a guy to come in and fix it, and then I need a guy to talk to him after I'm gone and take care of it. I don't really need to be in the room for all that.
Yeah, here's how it works. We give you money. We all give you a whole bunch of money, and then you are basically gambling that less of us will need to spend the money than we are giving you, and then you will end up making money. And then you can take that money and
pay... Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to the insurance companies. And then you pay your executives. When it doesn't work is when, like, you start giving your executives tens of millions of dollars, you know, in salaries and bonuses, and then you're dependent on making these huge, huge profits off of us, the people, and then we end up getting screwed because, you know, we have to pay $20 for a Tylenol. Or, conversely, you just won't let us have health care at all because, God forbid, we might get sick. Which is why people, show up.
So wait, so the you in this situation, or the me in this situation, I'm the insurance company.
You are the insurance company.
Well, you shouldn't be wrong at the insurance company. They're a company. That's what they do. I mean, companies make money. I mean, you should be angry at the government. You shouldn't be angry at the insurance. That's like being angry at McDonald's for charging a price you don't like.
I'm angry at everyone.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, you know, the insurance company, at least you can understand, like, you don't have to be happy about it, but you can understand why they do what they do. They're a business. Business can charge whatever business wants. There's like, I really have no issue with insurance companies at all in the sense that, you know, I don't like paying, you know, what I have to pay. But on the other hand, like, they're a business. They're allowed to make money. There's no law. Like, I don't want the government telling them they can't make money. But I do believe that so that's why I'm not angry at the insurance companies about it so much as I'm angry at the government. Because it is, in fact, the government's job to provide for the common defense. It is, in fact, mandated by the founding documents of our country. And so if you accept the proposition that, which I think we all do, that even if you factor in 9/11, that there are more people in every single year killed off by heart disease or cancer, people who've done nothing to get those diseases, people who have lived a relatively healthful life and who are killed by cancer anyway, cancer kills 50 times the number of people every year that terrorism probably kills in a decade. So it is, by my read of the situation, the government's obligation to provide for the common defense, and in this specific example, I mean cancer. So the government is, in fact, just violating the core documents that established its own existence. That's why I'm pissed off at the government. Not because I'm a communist, though I am. But just because I mean, if you look at the owner's manual, to me, it pretty much just says that the government has to take care of folks, you know, to a certain degree. Businesses don't have to do that. Businesses are just there to make white guys, you know, whiter and richer and fatter. It seems to me that That seems to be the general premise under which they operate. Somebody says, what was the point of electing these a-holes? We could have just voted Republican and gotten the same effing results. Really, that's the thing, is you might as well just skip to the end of the page. If you're voting Democrat expecting a change, I would say that it's easier and less time-consuming to just vote for Republicans because the outcome is going to be the same. It's all like one, you know what politics are? Politics is like one big pachinko machine. Everything just ends up in the same goddamn tray at the bottom anyway. It's just a question of how long it takes to get there.
I'm sad now. Well, the owner of a stern wheeler is making plans to have it removed from the Willamette River after it ran aground. The stern wheeler got stuck near Browns Island Road in Salem during a birthday party cruise on Tuesday night. No one was hurt, but Salem Fire and Rescue crews helped all 8 passengers and the 3 crew members get back to the dock safely. The same boat also ran aground near Portland last year. A poll released Tuesday showed that Donald Trump and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee tied for first when Republicans were asked who they would support in the 2012 GOP presidential nomination.
That is fantastic. And here's the thing. We will never elect a guy named Huckabee to be president. So, you know, if that were true, it would end up being Trump, which is great.
Yeah, President Huckabee. No.
Especially if he's meeting, if he's meeting with, I don't know, anybody. You could just pick a foreign leader at random and they're going to have a better sounding name. And also, they won't confess to, at one point, I swear to Christ, cooking a squirrel in a coffee pot in their dorm room and eating it, which he did. I'm not making that up either. That's a thing he said in interviews. Like, well, we used to catch one of them squirrels and then cook it up in a coffee pot in their dorm room. Presumably while he was perusing the works of Aristotle.
Yes, of course.
Before we go reading that Socrates, why don't you get me some grubs?
Trump was tied with Huckabee at 19% popularity. Political analyst David Gergen says this is one of those polls that is meaningless.
I sort of feel this is politics gone bonkers. I mean, to have Donald Trump tied for first, that on its face, he's not going to get the nomination, not going to become president.
We should totally give the presidency to whoever wins Dancing with the Stars this year.
Well, there's the mainstream running for the GOP nomination. There's currently in the running the Fairfax Five, as they call them, comprised of Mitt Romney, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, among others. Then there's what they're calling the Factional Five, who buck the establishment and attract Tea Party support. That's Palin, Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Donald Trump, and Ron Paul. This one blogger, Nate Silver, of the blog 538, said that the rise of Trump, who has swung to the right and now backs a free market birther platform, threatens to become a problem for establishment Republicans. Beltway conservatives who are breathing a sigh of relief at the demise of Sarah Palin are now faced with another outre candidate who's swiftly gaining favor with radical elements of the Republican Party. Silver writes, for the establishment Republicans, it must feel like a game of whack-a-mole.
It really is. Or wacky-mole, one might even say, Don. The thing about Trump is, I read some article to this effect yesterday. It was on on the Huffington Post, which I now feel guilty for reading every day. So I can read it. I'm just picturing
the faces of all of my out of work colleagues.
I was going to say, just picturing Eric Snyder living in a box on the street, going, "I'm so hungry. If someone would just all write you something pithy."
Hey, Eric saw the writing of the wall, though, I will say, and he actually left Cinematical like a couple of weeks ago and took a position with Film.com.
By the way, I should say,
jumped out of that boat before it started leaking.
On that note, we should congratulate Eric Snyder because he wrote a piece which you can read at ericdsnyder.com. And of course, you hear him Fridays Movie BS with Baron Snyder at 11 a.m. Betwixt our program at Gordon Fatboy. So there's a piece at ericdsnyder.com where he wrote about the implosion and demise and the de facto death of Cinematical, which as of this morning, Seamus tipped me off of this, has been picked up by a lot of online news aggregators and is getting quite a lot of reads. So and Eric is actually a great enough writer that he was here sitting over there in the Dawn spot last Thursday, and he sort of told me the whole story. And even having heard it from him, the piece was actually well written enough that I sat and read the entire thing this morning, even though it was quite lengthy. So it's you really got to read that if you get a chance. So I was reading this thing in the Huffington Post where they said that the strangest thing about Trump is that, and I never would have predicted this, that it turns out that he seems to actually believe these things that he's saying, or at least is just carrying the ruse all the way to the end. Like other, I thought he was just saying some insane crap to like get publicity for the new season of The Apprentice. You know, it was like, well, what am I going to do to get people to watch my show? I know, I'll pretend to be a crazy birther guy. Then everybody will remember my brand, and then they'll tune in, and thus and so, and whatever. I thought it was all just sort of stirring up the pot for the sake of publicity and ratings. But he appears to just be playing the thread all the way to the end, which is awesome. So he either really does believe it, or he's just in some method acting mode where he just can't switch it off until the presidential primaries. Either way, it's entertainment for us.
Hooray.
What are you hooraying there?
Yeah, entertainment.
That's
for
just
us.
Become a thing you say between news stories. Now that and yay!
I'm excited about the news. I just stopped sleeping like at some point days ago,
and sleep now, is for lightweights.
And now everything is it's just all kind of blurring together in this crazy Technicolor kind of wash.
Sleep is for people who have no ambition, Don. Mm.
Well, state police say the driver of a tractor trailer hauling frozen blood plasma fell asleep at the wheel, causing a fiery crash overnight on I-264 westbound in Portsmouth, Virginia. The crash snarled traffic through the morning rush hour, but all the lanes reopened around 10:45 a.m. State Police spokesperson Michelle Anaya said the driver of the tractor trailer, 34-year-old Timothy Paul McKelvey of Virginia Beach, was charged with reckless driving. According to Sergeant Anaya, the truck ran off the road and into the westbound lane around 2 a.m. Tuesday morning before overturning and catching on fire. Crews rushed to the scene and immediately closed all lanes and westbound, east and westbound to put the fire out. The truck did not spill any of the blood plasma it was carrying. However, at some point, officials did call in a hazmat crew to clean up the mess.
Because it was just, it probably didn't spill, but it was sloshing around considerably.
I would imagine so.
Can you imagine how unbelievably great the TV footage of that would have been if it had just sort of onto the road?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine the ants that you would have had to, you know. I mean,
oh, God.
You know what I'm saying.
And crows.
Seriously.
And everything would just smell blood for miles away.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the reason why we should be glad this didn't happen. Is because the crows, first of all, we know the crows are already, you know, we already know that they're evil. We know that they're up to something. I mean, you can just look at them. But I don't think that they, to any demonstrable degree, have they gotten a taste for human blood yet. But the minute that happens,
yeah.
Really, the minute they go, wait, they're pink and soft and tasty. Oh, that's wonderful. Then it would have been game over. So,
and then you just have to just eventually shut down the entire state of Virginia.
Exactly. Now we have to, forestalled a sort of crow induced demise by, I would imagine, at least a few weeks here.
The zombie apocalypse begins with crows eating, tasting human flesh.
I think it's just a matter of time, with that. But I mean, I'd rather that it be later as opposed to sooner. So. Big truck full of blood. Imagine just being the guy that gets that call and you just wonder why you didn't sleep in later that day. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do science.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to squireselectric.com. Say, Mom, are you busy spending all day cleaning up blood off the highway? No time to be at home? Afraid Junior's going to be sticking a fork into a light socket? If you come home and you find that all of your electrical panels have burned out, your fuses are all needing to be replaced, and there's just nothing working in your wiring, you want to contact Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And what that means is they can make sure they stand between you and a fiery, immolative death. So if you are looking at, maybe you're going to be expanding your house, you're going to be remodeling, you're going to be knocking out a wall, putting up a wall, taking a room down, putting a room somewhere else, taking three rooms, making it into one, whatever it is. These are all admirable things and things at which you may be skilled to some degree. Your rebar? Sure. Your sheetrock? Fine. Your wall-sunk lug mollies? Sure. Wiring? Maybe not so much. And you know, water...
Do you even know what a wall-sunk...
I do.
Molly is.
I do indeed. There's like I don't know how to operate one or use one, and you wouldn't want to like give me one and have me actually put it into the wall. But I know what it is. I can identify it in the store, just like I can identify.
They're bolts, aren't they?
A molly is actually not a bolt. A molly is a sort of sheath that goes into the wall that holds a bolt.
Oh.
It's an elongated cap. It's like the cap on an old Bic pen that you would stick into the wall prior to actually putting the screw in there.
Oh, okay.
So. It's like I can tell you what I could pick an 8-penny nail out at like the Ernst Hardware store. I couldn't use it for anything. I couldn't pound into the wall without smashing my hand into little pieces. But I know what it is. I know what it is enough that it'll go like, hey, I got to get a guy to come do that for me. So if you're going to be working on your house, I'll put it this way. If you're going to you saw through a pipe or something that contains water, what's the worst that happens? Water, maybe a little sewage splashes on you. You can hose that away. You know, a little electricity splashes on you. That, that's a whole different kettle of fish there. So, you don't want to screw with that. You call 503-252-1609 or go to SquiresElectric.com. They're the proud sponsors of this Science on the March.
In a small rider to last week's budget, Congress pulled the wolf off the endangered species list and handed management of the species over to pro-hunting Idaho and Montana. This is the first time Congress has meddled directly with the law, and environmental groups say it sets a dangerous precedent. Defenders of Wildlife director told the New York Times, now anytime anybody has an issue with an endangered species, they're going to run to Congress and try to get the same treatment the anti-wolf people have gotten.
I don't know that anybody is really anti-wolf. I mean, I don't know that there's a lot of people who wake up in the morning and their whole life is dedicated to the eradication of wolves.
Well, but hunters and ranchers would like to be able to shoot more wolves because they believe that they eat their livestock and that they also eat elk.
Well, that's like saying that because I don't want an anvil to fall on my head, I'm anti-anvil. I'm not. I just don't want it falling on my head. If it's over there, you know, it's fine. If it's above me, less so.
Well, Senator John Tester, a Democrat from Montana, and Representative Mike Simpson, a Republican from Idaho, pushed for the rider, which precludes judicial review of the provision. So that's handy when you have a rider and it says on it, you actually can add in there, oh, yeah, and a judge can never, like, overrule
May
this.
Not be changed, ever.
Yeah. The day when mammals and perhaps humans could regrow limbs is soon approaching as scientists near a breakthrough. The first phases of limb regeneration observed in some plants has been replicated in mice for the first time, according to the new journal ACS Chemical Biology. The project represents the first time scientists have replicated these beginning stages of limb regeneration in mammals. Essentially, the process is similar to that in lizards and other such animals. Rather than unspecialized cells turning into specialized cells, such as heart and skin cells, there's another step. The process is called dedifferentiation. Specialized cells, such as those found in bone muscle, turn into unspecialized cells and then change again into another type of specialized cell, different from what it started as. So, there you go. In the experiment, scientists applied a combination of chemicals to skeletal muscle in mice in hopes of creating dedifferentiation. Specifically, this included using compounds called small molecules and altering a promoter or a range of DNA that controls a specific gene. After applying the treatment to the skeletal muscle cells, researchers were able to coax cells into changing into fat and bone cells, which play a large role in the early stages of limb regeneration. With more research, it's plausible the technique could benefit humans and mammals that have lost limbs in accidents.
It doesn't seem... Okay, this just seems like dumb research, and I know that I know that doesn't make sense on the face of it, but if you're just some guy who gets an arm cut off, it doesn't seem plausible that you could just regrow an arm. First of all, because if you're like 50 and you regrow an arm, by the time your arm is, you know, able to be... I mean, first of all, you're going to have a limb that is 50 years younger than the rest of you all the time, which is just going to look weird. I mean, maybe you don't
this
care.
This is my young arm.
Seriously, I mean,
let me grab that with my young arm.
Maybe if it works, I guess it doesn't really matter. But it seems like we could just be using that to create some sort of awesome prosthetic that allows you to crush things, you know, like blocks of concrete or the necks of your enemies, as opposed to just having a body that looks one way and then it's like you got this limb that looks like you just picked it up at a thrift store.
Actually, what would probably happen, and I'm just guessing here, what would probably happen if we do achieve this is that we will just have these farms full of cows and pigs that we just keep hacking off their legs and then growing new ones on them and keeping them alive as miserable, half-limbless animals going, please, kill me.
Why would I want a cow limb?
Because we eat them.
I don't understand.
You, rather than kill
cows, replicate themselves now. It's called sex.
Yeah, but in this case, you wouldn't have to keep breeding new animals and raising them up from childhood. You could just keep one cow and keep hacking off its parts and growing them back again.
Oh, I guess so. You could just get a cow that was sort of like you'd have a cow that looked a little bit like a koosh ball. You could just grow arms all over it.
Right.
And then just combine. Well, so that wouldn't be so cruel, actually. You know, it's like shearing a sheep every now and again, but you're just shearing arms off a cow.
Well, except the cow would be in pain, like, all of the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, you've been in pain every time you've gone to the hospital. Like they don't give you a bottle of 100 Vicodin every time you drive by the place.
We're not going to keep them doped up. That would cost extra money.
No.
We're just going to have pigs that we cut the bacon part off and then regrow more bacon.
No. You got to drug them or they run away and they make that horrible squealing noise. No, you got to keep them in one place. So you just get a cow, you hook it to an IV drip of some kind. Every few months it come off and shear off all the cow arms or legs or whatever they would be called at that point. And then bam.
Just give it some morphine and then it just lays there in a haze while it grows new ones?
Seriously. Yeah. Everybody wins in that scenario.
Well, kind of except the cow, really.
That's not true. If I just told you that you were going to spend the rest of your life in a morphine haze, you'd sign up for that today. It doesn't matter what I said we were going to do to you while you were under.
You may be right.
It doesn't matter. If I offered that to you now, I'd have to do the rest of the show by myself. You'd just be gone. There'd be a little puff of Wile E. Coyote smoke in the air, and you'd be vanished.
Sign me up. The UFO blogosphere has been burning up over the past few days with news about a recently discovered top-secret FBI file proving that flying saucers and alien bodies were discovered in Roswell in 1947.
Uh-huh.
The information, which appears to be in a apparently genuine FBI file, is being called the real deal. One typical post crowed that the FBI secret memo says Roswell flying saucers were legit. The March 22, 1950 document from Washington Bureau agent Guy Hoddle to the director of the FBI has the subject line, flying saucers, information concerning, and states that, quote, an investigator for the Air Forces stated that three so-called flying saucers had been recovered in New Mexico. They were described as being circular in shape with raised centers, approximately 50 feet in diameter. Each one was occupied by three bodies of human shape, but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of a very fine texture. Each body was bandaged in a manner similar to the blackout suits used by speed flyers and test pilots, according to Mr. Blacked Out, informant. The saucers were found in New Mexico due to the fact that the government has a very high-powered radar set up in that area and is believed the radar interferes with the controlling mechanism of the saucers.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Yeah.
There may actually be...
There aren't. Here's the thing about it, is that just because there's a report in the FBI files that a guy told them something doesn't mean that it's true. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, maybe there are aliens, maybe there aren't, but, like... I could go file a report with the FBI right now saying that I kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. And what that would mean is that 50 years from now, they could go, the FBI has a file from a guy saying he kidnapped the Lindbergh baby. Therefore, it's true. So all this means is that the FBI got a report from some guy who claimed something.
And also...
That's what they call hearsay in legal circles.
And also the wording of the stuff in the document match a description given in a proven UFO hoax in Aztec, New Mexico, a year after the supposed Roswell incident.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there aren't aliens or whatever, but I mean, just, I think you have to go something stronger than the word of, you know, some guy, by the way, whose name has been redacted cleverly. So, you know, I'm just saying. I don't mean to be, you know, Johnny Buzzkill or anything. Is that the end of science?
That is.
It can't be.
It is.
It is?
That's all our
damn
science.
Damn it all to hell. All right, there's your science on the march for whatever the hell day this is, April 13th, 2011. I give her, hey, let me ask you this. The stupid thing with the Mayan calendar what's the calendar that ends next year?
I think that's the Mayan calendar.
The Mayans? Yeah. Is it like on January 1st, or is it like it just said some point during 2012? Like, are we going to be walking around every day going, is this the day?
I don't know. I haven't really kept up on my Mayan calendar conspiracy.
All right. I just wondered if it was going to be like a surprise. Like every day there was a one and, you know, 250 chance or however many, that was going to be that day.
I just assume that their calendar ends in 2012 because they figured by that, there has to be an end point where you just don't have to care anymore. I mean, who has room on a calendar for like infinity?
No, that's true. Well, it's like my Franklin planner, it just ends in September for some reason.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that everything in the world is going to end.
I like to think that someday archaeologists will come find my Franklin Covey planner because they do. The one I have does a September to September thing. I don't know why. Maybe it's for scholastic. It's like for academic reasons or whatever. And so they would find like a calendar that ended in September and then just assume, you know, that we should create fake calendars now. That say, like, you know, year, like, 4255 A.D., and then, like, circle a big date in red and go, end of world.
World ends.
Yeah, and, like, morning, you know, yoga. Afternoon, world explodes.
See, if archaeologists or somebody find your planner, they will assume that you were some kind of, like, a spy or something. Because you have that thing where every time you finish doing something, you scribble it out, like, like 47,000 times so that not a single word can be read through, you know, the scribbling.
I lead a redacted life.
Yes.
The Mayan calendar ends mid-December. Well, mid-December of this year, of next year? Well,
it's
I guess it would have to be next year.
Yeah.
So sometime in 2012. All right. Okay.
That's why when the giant tidal waves will come and wash an aircraft carrier into the lighthouse, into the White House.
I think we've seen that. I think it's... All right, here's Don Taylor.
A 27-year-old contract employee for the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard on Friday told Kitsap County Sheriff's deputies he had hit himself in the face because he was freaking out over a possible government shutdown. The shutdown was averted when Congress approved a budget late Friday, less than 2 hours before the federal government would have officially run out of money to keep government services in operation. Deputies had been called to a home on Voyager Lane in Silverdale, Washington, at about 10:45 p.m., where the man and a 21-year-old Silverdale woman said they had been arguing. The man said he was worried about the prospect of no work and mounting bills. According to a report by the sheriff's deputy, he, quote, advised he was freaking out over the impending government shutdown, unquote, and struck himself with his fist on the right side of his forehead, causing a visible knot. The woman, interviewed separately, confirmed what the man said. The man wanted to take a walk and cool off, the report states. Deputies dropped him at a Sherry's restaurant.
Okay. There's a lot of that's odd in that story, but especially that they dropped him at a Sherry's pie house at the end.
He just wanted to have a little pie and then go for a walk, and then he'd be fine after punching himself in the head.
All right, then.
Republican leaders told President Obama today that raising taxes on the wealthy to help reduce the federal deficit
is awesome.
Republicans. They said no. That would be bad, taxing rich people. House Speaker John Boehner says revenues are not the problem. Spending is.
And it heard us loud and clear. If we're going to resolve our differences and do something meaningful, raising taxes will not be part of that.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says all sides agree it's time to get down to business.
I thought the meeting was constructive in the sense that I think everyone at the White House meeting agreed that we need to kind of put the talking points aside and deal with what's doable as we approach this debt ceiling vote.
Don't care. Hey, the Mayan calendar ends December 21st, 2012.
Okay.
Just so you know. So really you can just skip your last minute shopping altogether. I mean, your Hanukkah show, you'll have like 3 days of Hanukkah you have to cover there.
We know what day of the week that is?
I think it's a Friday.
We should plan something special for
that. An event.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Two workers are dead after an accident at a radio tower near Buck Creek, Indiana. Tippecanoe County Deputy Coroner Tony Kenner said the victims were part of a crew working on the radio tower. Police were called to the scene around 9 a.m. Bob Brewer from the Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Department said a crew of five were working on the tower when two of them fell. Brewer said both were fatally injured. There were no other injuries. Names have not yet been released pending notification.
So they weren't just like jackasses climbing the tower. They were actually doing some work there.
No, they were actually working on it. It was the WXXB radio tower. WXXB is also known as B1029. It's the local FM radio station, which focuses on playing recent hits. It's one of five Lafayette stations owned by Schertz Communications. OSHA was at the scene. The tower is still unstable and is currently closed.
Oh, I see. The problem was the tower itself. It wasn't like they were climbing and then there was a gust of wind or something.
No,
it's like the guy wires or something on the tower was. Radio towers are freaky, man. I mean, it was a couple years ago. There was some huge windstorm that came through and up at Sylvan, where a lot of the towers are, there were some guy wires that had snapped. And there was that whole thing of like one of the towers going like back and forth, and it's a whole lot of like, you don't want one of those to fall. Here's another thing that radio stations won't tell you that is in fact true. It was true at CBS, but we were always told never to discuss it on the air. You know, like at least once or twice a year at radio stations, they'll get a call from the sheriff's department, and they have to go out there because somebody has decided to commit suicide by climbing one of the radio towers and jumping off, or some guy just says, I wonder what it's like at the top of that thing. I'll go climbing it.
So they don't usually make it all the way to the top,
they don't, because it radiates their brain.
Yeah.
Yes, because you get about two-thirds of the way up, and the microwaves actually cook your brain, and then you fall off. And so every now and again, and a couple of engineers I knew at CBS, it would be, you know, they... They'd be like, you know, throwing a, you know, like a, you know, whatever, they're like engineering kit or whatever their shoulder just in case there was anything else wrong. And like, well, you know, and they would always have that certain look on your face. You go, what's wrong, Ted? And, another guy fell off the tower. We have to go drag his body away so the sheriffs can come get it. And they were always, like the worst day to be at work because there would just be some nitwit that would climb the tower. Sometimes because it's like you got the feeling they wanted to prank somebody by like stealing one of the light bulbs from the top or something. Yeah, and they get about halfway up and suddenly they'd feel very lightheaded. And then they'd feel very, I guess, warm-headed. Yeah. And then they'd feel dead because they would fall off. So, good times.
Yeah. A Missouri high school student says he was simply showing his support for equal rights. But a teacher and school official complained that his shirt, which said queer plus straight equals equal, was offensive. And they forced him to go home. Now, student Jesse Irie, who says he's bisexual, and the American Civil Liberties Union are fighting back in what they say is illegal censorship by the school. Liberty is supposed to be a hate-free zone. That's one of our shirts, said Irie. But a Liberty High teacher and an assistant principal said that the word queer is offensive. And when Irie refused to take off the shirt, he was sent home.
Also, the shirt doesn't make any sense. What is it? I don't understand. Queer plus straight equals equal.
Yeah.
It's
a bad sentiment, really.
I don't understand the...
I guess what it's saying is
Rick Emerson's all for equality.
That gay people and straight people are equal. But...
Oh, I see. Okay, I get it. Okay, so I thought it was an actual... Okay, I guess I was putting too much science on the shirt, as Flavor Flav would say.
Well, the mathematics are sketchy.
Okay, so he's... Okay. I guess I was trying to make the shirt wittier than it was. It's really just...
Or trying to make it actually make sense.
I thought it was like a math joke and an equality joke at once.
It's not that clever.
Like a minus one and a plus one equals zero or something, you know.
Or with a greater than symbol and
an infinity thing or something. I thought it was some sort of equality via ThinkGeek, but no.
Irie said that what people are trying to do is take the word back so it's not an offensive slur. Keep in mind, he's a high school kid.
Well,
so
I don't know the difference between gay and queer anyway. I've always assumed that queer was just a political term. I have always heard queer used to describe the more activist or political wing of, you know, that if you were gay, but, you know, if you were doing it with, if you were presenting yourself to the public as a gay person in aid of some political or activist cause, that you were identified as queer.
Well, the way... My perspective is the way that I've seen it is it seems like queer, of course, started out as a slur against homosexuals. Then gays tried to, you know, embrace the term to try and, you know, take some of its sting away. Like, you're going to call us queer? Well, we're going to embrace
it first.
Yeah. And then now it seems like queer has actually been adopted by people who any kind of non-heterosexuality. You know, or any kind of...
Could you see them used...
Of bent.
Like, in it, next to each other, which is the thing I don't get, where it'll actually, like, you'll see, like, at Powell's or something, or you'll see, I don't know, you'll just see, like, they'll talk about a film festival. It'll be like the you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, / queer film festival. And so you... Or whatever. And so then you wonder... That was the thing that made me wonder. It seems like you would put either or. So when I see the term gay and queer both used to describe something, I just assume they must mean different things at this point.
Well, there's also, like, there's also terms that people use, like, genderqueer, which means that,
That's just when you're making something up.
Well...
I feel like a lady today.
Kind of, yeah. There's all kinds.
I'm just saying, it's like it seems like they must mean something specific.
Yeah. Honestly, a lot of times I think queer is a word that people who aren't gay adopt because they just want everyone to know that they're edgy.
I'm saying, like, when I see it at the bookstore and there's a section labeled gay / queer / whatever, and I'm like, well, what?
Yeah.
Are those two different kinds of books? It didn't really matter. I'm just curious linguistically, like, when, where the split happened.
Well,
and
I think queer can kind of to transgender people, people who just have, like, body dysmorphia. There's all kinds of people who embrace the word queer.
Okay.
Nah.
And have a lot you heard of Snyder's them... thing about the collective term for
retard? Oh no. Oh, he wrote.
What the hell? Where did that come from?
Oh, just he got in trouble for using the word retard once, and so he wrote a whole column about the use of the word because he had used it in reviewing Tropic Thunder and then a whole thing about
going full retard.
And then he got a bunch of crap for that. And then so he wrote this hilarious piece about using the word retard, so never mind.
No. We were having a last Friday or last Thursday. He was here. We were talking about the collective term for gay men, and I forget. It was either that I said gaggle of gays, and he corrected me and said it was something else. Or that I said something else, and he goes, no, the correct term is, but he just, but it was, I believe it was gaggle, but I could be wrong about that, but it was something of gays and a bunch of lesbians. I forget if it was gaggle of gays, though. I don't think it was. I think I said, well, there was a gag. He was asking me about the audience makeup at the Britney Spears concert. And he said, was it all just trashy chicks, or were there a lot of, like, gay guys there? Because she's making this whole effort to sort of be more club-oriented. And I said, well, I said it was mostly just skanks. I said, but there was, and I believe I said there was a gaggle of gays every now and again. And he corrected me. He said, no, it's not gaggle of gays. It's something of gays and a bunch of lesbians. I'll have to go back and look it up.
Well, our listener, Mike, black guy in Portland, which is how he identifies himself, he weighs in and says, the difference is if you're gay, you're a normal gay person. If you're queer, you take on the characteristics of an overweight, sassy black woman.
And you shout a lot.
Irie said that, I don't know, I'm done with this story. I think we've shared everything about this kid that there could possibly be.
And you're listening to the Legion of News radio broadcast, infiltrating your mind and making you a better person with every passing moment here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at Legion of News. .com, also on your mobile device. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. That is it, rickemersonshow.com. Today we got a penis watch coming up, also corpse watch coming up, and from the Oregonian. For the Oregonian, we have a columnist, Anna Griffin, who's going to be in the studio with us here. And I'm trying to find, let's see, hold on a second, for... What is today? Today is Wednesday, yes?
Yes.
All right, so let's see. We have, we want to welcome new subscriber... Paul in Meade. God, I haven't thought about Meade, Washington, like, forever.
Is it named after the honey wine that is so beloved by Renaissance fair enthusiasts?
I honestly don't know the answer to that, but I have not thought of Meade, Washington. I mean, it really has been quite some time. Well, all right then. Well, good for you. So we want to welcome a new listener and subscriber, Paul, listening to us from Meade, Washington, Paul, who is now an annual subscriber, which is an annual subscription, meaning that he saved tuppence a day or something. He saved some minuscule amount. But
he's paying $666 per month instead of $699.
That's right. So that's really the reason you care about that, is because you are paying $666 every single month. So thank you to listener Paul. Don't forget, you can hear more of our Wit and Whimsy every single day at Rick Emerson Show. .com. That is rickemersonshow.com for the low price of just 32 cents a day, a price for which you can really get nothing else in this fading republic of ours. Here is Don Taylor.
Entertainment. Let's do that.
Here's your entertainment for Wednesday, April 13th, 2011, your entertainment news.
Scarlett Johansson's publicist told the UPI that rumors that she's pregnant are false. A photo of the actress and Sean Penn jogging over the weekend sparked rumors that she was pregnant.
Because pregnant women can't stop jogging.
A representative said to Us Magazine, Scarlett is not pregnant. She was outside running, and simply the placement of her shirt is misleading. So apparently, any time we see an actress who does not have a washboard flat stomach now, they must be pregnant.
Have we seen the photograph in question?
All right. No. On Tuesday, lawyers for Phil Spector asked the California Appeals Court to throw out his murder conviction and add a third trial. We mentioned this yesterday. He's serving at least 19 years for the 2003 murder of Lana Clarkson and has to wait up to 3 months now to learn the fate of his request. Aerosmith frontman and American Idol judge Steven Tyler's second memoir, Does the Noise in My Head Bother You?, comes out May 3rd.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean his second memoir?
Apparently, this is his second memoir.
Okay,
his first memoir was called Walk This Way.
Okay.
And was released in 1997.
No, that's wrong. That's incorrect. Walk This Way was by Stephen Davis. It was not by Steven Tyler.
Well,
that is inaccurate information contained in that. Don't front on me about rock biographies.
Well, entertainment news brief.
That is wrong. Walk This Way is by Stephen Davis, author of Hammer of the Gods, the Led Zeppelin saga. And it's good. Walk This Way is actually a decent Aerosmith biography, although it takes the form. Here's the thing I could do without. It takes It uses one of my least favorite formats for a biography. It is an oral biography in which it's just... It is the saga of, in this case, the band, and it's just told through a series of stitched-together observations by people in the band and people around them. And so there's, you know...
Like that one Saturday Night Live book.
Yeah, where it's like every paragraph starts with Steven Tyler, colon, and then it'd be like a paragraph or two from him talking about whatever. And basically, just take it, they aggregate decades worth of interviews, and some of them recent, and then he stitches them all together excerpt style into a narrative chronologically showing which I don't care for at all. That being said, it's a very decent rock biography, but this will be actually by Steven Tyler, which is why it's significant. So it's coming out when?
May 3rd. Tyler told Reuters that the book will be the unbridled truth, the in-your-face, up-close, and prodigious tale of Steven Tyler straight from the horse's lips.
Did he really say that?
Yes.
I love Steven Tyler. Kazam! Yeah! That's awesome. So really, when it comes down to it, it's just going to be... It really, for that day, it's going to be a battle on the charts between Steven Tyler's book and Zombie Economics.
That's when your book comes out, too?
May 3rd. That is May 3rd, yes. Zombie Economics by myself and Lisa Desjardins of CNN with some additional material by our good friend Todd the Corpse Workoven. And so, yes, that it comes out Tuesday, May 3rd from Avery Penguin. Buy it now at zombieeconomics.com, won't you?
Maybe you and Steven Tyler will end
up... We should do a tour together.
Well, you could go to, like, Powell's and sit side by side and do a reading.
It'll be like
he could read from your book, you could read from his.
Oh, how awesome would that be? I'll have my people get on that right now. It'll be like a Blur Oasis thing to see who comes out on top.
Exactly. Right.
So if you have if you have any money left over after purchasing Zombie Economics by myself, Rick Emerson, and Lisa Desjardins, you can also, you can put some of that towards Steven Tyler's book. You might put his on layaway, though.
Yeah. Or you could read his on the Kindle.
Yeah. That's, borrow a copy.
Daily Variety reports that Joaquin Phoenix is interested in co-starring in director Paul Thomas Anderson's next movie. Originally titled The Master, the movie centers on the life of a spiritual leader, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, and his right-hand man, an alcoholic drifter named Freddie Sutton.
And it's kind of a Romana Clay about L. Ron Hubbard.
Anderson is also developing an adaptation of Thomas Pynchon's novel Inherent Vice, and he wrote the screenplay for The Master. 20-year-old Scream 4 actress Emma Roberts is fine that she doesn't have a curvy figure. She told 17 Magazine, "Sexy when I was younger always meant boobs, and I've never had boobs in my life, so I always felt that sexy was out of the question for me. I used to really want to be that kind of voluptuous girl, and I've just kind of embraced that I'm not." Roberts, whose aunt is Julia Roberts and her father is Eric Roberts, also added that she's in a good place. "I just feel content, and I feel like that's a nice place to be. I've learned that I want to have people in my life and lots of love in my life and just enjoy it. I wish I'd realized that sooner."
Did somebody... Is there like a vacuous button we pressed on the keyboard or something? Because I'm hearing the worst story. Maybe it's just over here in my headphones.
I hate everyone.
Okay.
And
don't act like the boblessness is a thing for which there's no cure. There really... I mean, that's... You live in 2011. Yeah. You can have boobs.
And also, yeah, you're 20 years old and you're a movie star. You know, shut up.
Well, and plus, let's be honest. What is her name?
Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts, there's going to be time to be curvy later on when you start looking like your mom. So, because that will happen. Have no doubt about that.
I don't know what her mom looks like.
Doesn't matter. Everybody looks like their mom after 20 years. So, and you know, and you look at anybody's mom.
Her dad was really pretty before, he had his accident and his face kind of got stitched back on.
Who's your dad?
Eric Roberts.
Wait, but Eric Roberts is...
Is Julia Roberts' brother.
I mean, what would I know him from? Because I'm just picturing Eric Stoltz for some reason.
Oh, God. I'm trying...
He's that guy in that thing.
He's that guy in that thing.
Okay. All right. You can hear more of this sparkling wit and wisdom and piercing insight about that guy in that thing. Or possibly not. Next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. We got your Penis Watch coming up today. Corpse Watch. Also, Anna Griffin from The Oregonian will be in the studio with us as well, sharing her own brand of pithy observation about the good people of Portland. Here is Don Taylor.
That's all the entertainment news.
All right, let's see. Here's your entertainment news for...
And that's Eric Roberts from back
when
he
guy.
Was still pretty. Yeah.
Okay. What do you mean his face fell off?
He had made the movie, was it called King of the Gypsies? It was the movie with, it was a Louis Malle film with,
that
what's
guy.
Her name? Well, with Brooke Shields, and she was a little girl, and they were a gypsy family, and
right.
he was the older brother of the gypsy family. And anyway, he was really super pretty, but kind of Mark Hamill style. He ended up getting in a car accident and had to have plastic surgery on his face, and then he always looked just a little bit weird after that. It's like he has a big scar on his upper lip.
Didn't quite come back together.
No, he was handsome enough apparently for movies, but just never as pretty as he had been when he first started out.
Somebody is noting, by the way. Never mind. I don't care. Here's Don Taylor.
The private sector has recruited scores of top CIA agents in recent years, in part to gain advantage when it comes to intelligence contracting, reports the Washington Post. At least 91 agents from the upper echelons of the CIA have left for private intelligence firms and security consultants in the past decade. Leaving government for the private sector is not unusual in Washington, but the defections from the CIA signal a culture change to the agency, which valued discretion and restraint by retired officers. The widespread flight from the agency has been driven by a boom in intelligence consultancy. The Washington Post writes, for private firms seeking to tap into the lucrative industry of intelligence contracting, the value of having agency officers on the payroll is hard to overstate.
So we could, apparently they're on the market, so we could get one here.
Yeah.
Maybe just do it to silence our enemies.
That would be awesome.
Excellent.
Like Steve, our CIA operative.
That's what I want for
spook.
Christmas.
A Pendleton, Colorado woman says she was brutally attacked and raped. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pendleton, Oregon woman said she was brutally attacked and raped inside the Denver International Airport. The suspect has been identified as Noel Alexander Bertrand, 26, from Portland. Denver police say he was arrested and booked on charges of felony assault and sexual assault and assault. The victim says she met the man outside an airport restaurant after missing a connecting flight to Illinois. She says he followed her out of the restaurant into the concourse and offered to wait with her. The woman says he tried to kiss her and she refused and says they then threw her to the floor. He grabbed, and she describes what happened. The woman had visible injuries to her eye and leg, spent the night in a Colorado hospital. She said during the attack, two people who appeared to be janitors walked by but didn't stop. So I'm appalled that I was going through something so brutal and they kept walking. She believes two outside airport workers saw the attack through the window and called the police. A Denver police spokesman said airport employees detained the man until officers arrived. But she said she was on her way to an interview at a Catholic retreat.
In other news, they apparently finally opened the Denver airport. So
hey. Apparently, the fella, a Portland native, he's a former Marine. And he served in Marine security details at U.S. embassies in Ireland and Venezuela. So
let's end on something that's less rapey.
Less rapey? Okay. Henry County, Atlanta. This is Georgia. I had to figure out where this was. Henry County, Georgia police said a 44-year-old man allegedly armed himself with a garage door opener that he claimed was a bomb and demanded cash at two businesses. After issuing a lookout for him Tuesday morning, detectives learned that Anthony Craig Dobson was in custody. He had an unusual approach to robbery. He would allegedly hold up a garage door opener with a telephone cord wrapped around it, say it was a bomb, and threaten to detonate it if clerks didn't hand over money. In both locations, it worked. And he got an undisclosed amount of cash.
Really? So they would... Well, they must just be told... They must just be told in banks just to give the guy whatever he wants regardless.
Well, they weren't banks either. They were businesses.
Or businesses, but I
one
mean...
One was a Subway.
So, like, most places, know. I think, are told just, like, don't... You know, they got it. They have, like, theft insurance or something,
yeah.
Probably. So they're just told, like, don't screw with, you know... Because, like...
Just give the crazy man the money.
Well, yeah, because, like, how... I mean, how long can it possibly take before a guy like that... Like, if a guy comes and he's trying to rob you using, like a vacuum cleaner, like, how... How long is it going to take for the cops to, you know, to find that guy? It seems like he's maybe you're not really dealing with the, you're not dealing with the Lex Luthor of the Atlanta community.
I give him points for ingenuity, though. I mean,
and for
you
creativity.
Know, you can't get your hands on a gun, say, you like, and I guess does it, I don't even think it counts as armed robbery since it's not really a gun or anything. Although now there are all those laws about having fake bombs and pretending to have an explosive because of Homeland Security.
It is sort of creative, though. You're just going to go rob a guy with your genie lift master.
Yeah.
So, all right, then. Well, on that note, we will... there we go. And this episode of Legion of News. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. Legion of News comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good and righteous things and peoples. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. And as always, we thank you for listening. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Until then, have a safe and satisfying day, won't you?